This is Tech News Briefing from the Wall Street Journal.
Welcome, I'm Charlie Turner reporting from the newsroom in New York. Coming up, the Wall Street Journal's David Pierce previews for us the upcoming Galaxy S9 smartphone from Samsung. But first, these tech headlines. Dropbox raised the curtain Friday on its long-awaited initial public offering, which is set to be one of the biggest tech debuts of the past few years. The web storage company's financials, revealed in a public filing, paint a picture of a firm with more than $1 billion in revenue, shrinking losses, and roughly 11 million paying users. Still, revenue growth has slowed, and the vast majority of its more than 500 million users don't pay. Dropbox said it has never turned a yearly profit since its inception, which isn't uncommon for investment-heavy tech startups seeking to go public. The Wall Street Journal says major automakers are racing to build an affordable electric vehicle in India and other emerging markets. They need to radically reduce sticker prices for electric vehicles to around $7,000 to entice the average buyer and sell enough cars to have a meaningful impact on emissions. At India's Auto Expo this month, held near New Delhi, there were 25 electric vehicles on display from companies including Toyota, Hyundai, Renault, and Kia Motors. They unveiled models for the first time in India and pledged to have many on Indian roads in the next 3 years. There are currently fewer than 10,000 electric vehicles on Indian roads. And we continue to keep an eye on Tesla and its first mass-market electric vehicle, the Model 3 sedan. Tesla, for the first time, has begun taking orders for the Model 3 from new reservation holders and not just employees or previous buyers. That suggests that production bottlenecks have started to ease. Coming up, we'll talk about the soon-to-be released Samsung Galaxy S9 phone. This is the Wall Street Journal's Tech News Briefing.
Join the Wall Street Journal May 8th through the 10th in New York City for our first ever Future of Everything Festival. This 3-day event will bring together innovators and experts with ambitious leaders, entrepreneurs, and students who are all shaping the future. The festival will include 12 themed sessions covering the future of money, cities, medicine, artificial intelligence, food, transportation, and more. To learn more and buy tickets, visit us at foefestival.wsj.com.
Thanks for listening, everyone. On March 16th, Samsung's new Galaxy S9 smartphone will go on sale. One question that's been at the forefront is how much of an improvement will the S9 be over the Galaxy S8, which came out last year and sold in huge numbers? Let's talk about what's different and what's not different about Samsung's Galaxy S9 phone with the Wall Street Journal's David Pierce, who's road-tested the phone and joins us from San Francisco. David, not much about the S9 has changed from the S8, with one exception, and that's the camera, right?
Yeah, that's true. The S8, which came out last year, was good in so many ways and so far ahead of so many other smartphones at that time that I think Samsung just decided that it had a winner with the design last year, and the performance was good, and a lot of things about that phone are still, you know, at the cutting edge of things. But really, the camera is what's changed. And Samsung has this idea that your camera is not just about taking photos or videos, that it's actually sort of a communication tool. And this is also what's happening with, you know, the iPhone 10 and Animoji and what Snapchat has been able to do. There's this different sense of what a camera can be. So Samsung is enabling these features like AR Emoji, where you can actually take a picture of your own face and create an emoji out of yourself, which is silly but very fun. And then there's all kinds of different ways you can use it to, you know, translate text on signs just by pointing the camera at it, or take incredibly slow motion videos, like ridiculously overly slow motion videos. And so it's less about the quality, though the camera is definitely better, but it's more about all these new different things you can do with a camera.
And you mentioned something about an infinity display in the camera.
So the infinity display is actually what's been so great about this design that Samsung has had before. This thing where there are no bezels on your phone, that it's just sort of a screen all the way on the front, and it just feels like a piece of glass that you're holding in your hand. Samsung's actually been way ahead of the curve on that. And this display has, you know, slightly smaller bezels, which they were already small anyway, and it has a slightly brighter screen. So these are all things that sort of get a little bit better, a little bit more impressive every single year, but haven't sort of leaped in any new directions this year.
And there's a security system along with the rest of the features in this new camera?
Yeah, so that's another part of what Samsung is trying to do to sort of redefine what your camera can do on your phone. They have this feature called Face Unlock, which basically takes a photo of your face and tries to decide if it's you or not. And it's not particularly secure. You can actually fool it with a photo of yourself. But Samsung also has a technology where it can actually do iris scanning, which is incredibly secure, but sort of complicated and slow and hard to actually pull off. So what they've done this year is combine the two. And so for more secure things, it'll actually default to iris scanning. But for other things, it can do a combination of scanning your irises and just taking a photo of your face to sort of quickly let you into your phone, similar to the way that Face ID works on the iPhone.
David, as far as the S9 is concerned, there's both an S9 and an S9 Plus. Isn't that right? And the screen sizes are different.
Yeah, Samsung has basically decided that you should either get a big phone or a really big phone. And if you get the regular S9, it's a 5.8-inch screen, which is already huge. And then the S9 Plus, which also has a second camera that it can use to get slightly better zoom on your photos, that's also on the S9 Plus. The S9 Plus is the more expensive of the two, and based on my experience with the two, it's really big. I mean, it's a giant phone. I think more people are going to be pretty happy with the S9.
Now, isn't Samsung under some more pressure, not just because the S8 phone was so good, but also Apple, Google, and other companies subsequently launched phones after the S8 with big screens and impressive cameras?
Yeah, the great news for consumers is that so many phones are so good now. You can find a really exceptional phone with a very good camera for $400 or $500 now. But what that means for Samsung is that it has to go and really try and figure out something new and different and try to push the envelope ahead again. And I don't see much of that in this phone. There's a lot of good things, a lot of polish, and a lot of sort of improvements over what Samsung has done before, but there's no sort of splashy big new idea about what a smartphone can be or do here. It feels very much in line with the best of what Apple and Google are doing, but maybe not kind of in a league of its own anymore.
But you really liked the Samsung Galaxy S9 when you road tested it.
Yeah, I've only spent a little bit of time with it so far, but everything I've seen is very good. Samsung's been making some of the best phones you can buy for the last 4 or 5 years now, and this certainly seems to continue that legacy.
Again, as you write, the Samsung Galaxy S9 will come out on March 16th, and I guess the big question will probably be, will consumers pay up for the S9, you know, depending, of course, on what the price is?
Yeah, it's an interesting question. I think last year with the S8 and the iPhone X and the Google Pixel, it was such a big upgrade year for a lot of people that it's going to be interesting to see. Samsung offers these big trade-in discounts if you decide to go get the new phone. You can trade in your old one, but people are spending, you know, $800, $900, even $1,000 on phones now and are just keeping them longer as a result. So I think it's going to be interesting for Samsung to see if people, particularly who bought the S8 or even the S7 2 years ago, are ready to pony up.
Wall Street Journal reporter David Pierce joining us from San Francisco. Thanks a lot, David.
Thank you.
And that's Tech News Briefing from the Wall Street Journal. I'm Charlie Turner from the newsroom in New York.